This podcast is brought to you by fin24.com.
Welcome to Off the Record. My name is Mark Ashton. I'm stand-in host for the show this week in the absence of editor David Mackay. I'm joined in the studio by investigative reporter Sikonathi Mantshantsha and joined on the line by the CEO of Cipro, Nongile Dukwana. I'm going to go straight into it. There's been quite a lot of criticism of your organization over the last couple of months with regards to directorships, IT systems, and obviously the Kalahari resources issue has been quite a high profile one. Do you think that the media criticism of the organization has been justified, or do you think there's other moving parts that have maybe not received the same focus that they perhaps could have?
Look, Mark, I think the criticism in some instances has been fair. I think as Cipro, we have a responsibility of learning from those things that we may have had not focus on as we are supposed to focus on, obviously, because of the bigger scope. But I think some of the areas, I mean, have been overlooked mainly in terms of what the real issues are. For example, the Kalahari case, I don't want to discuss it, but as you have seen, the enforcement agencies are busy with that particular matter, and we are complying with them, and we will do all the best. But more and above that, we're taking serious steps in terms of closing the gaps where they exist in terms of the controls. And over the last few months, you may have seen that in terms of the steps. For example, the CM29, the enhanced one that we just introduced now, we're trying to better communicate with the directors in terms of informing them of what is happening in their own companies. But obviously, we had gave a message consistently that said they need to take an interest in their own companies and make sure that they check the status of their companies, who are the directors, and ask for assistance where they need to be there. But also give us their contact details on a regular basis so that we know who are we contacting again.
Obviously, systems play a big part in your organization, bringing your systems up to date. There was quite a lot of contention around the Valor IT tender. Any update to our readers in terms of what is happening there and what's happening with regards to upgrading systems across Cipro?
Mark, as you would know, the Valor IT issue is a legal process and it's in court, so it wouldn't be fair for me to make any comment on that. But we have existing systems that Cipro has been running on, which we at this point have put up some serious plans to ensure that we maintain the systems better so that we can be able to assist the clients better. In some instances, that is working. In some instances, we're still grappling with them, but I think we are making some progress on some of the areas of making sure that the systems are maintained better so that they can give a good service and a sustainable service to the customers. And I think that it can take us somewhere if we can maintain the system better.
One of the things you touched on earlier was obviously communication with directors of companies, ensuring that they spend a lot of time making sure their details are up to date. But, I mean, closer to home, looking at specifically Cipro staff, has there been any education around fraud prevention and dealing with internal issues and being able to communicate with outside stakeholders?
We have spent a lot of time last year, Mark, specifically trying to run a fraud awareness campaign internally at Cipro. We spent a lot of time on that, both for our staff, but also putting some posters, I think, around the organization to make sure that people can read and can understand that if you commit fraud, what are the implications of that fraud? But I think we had gone out as well to say to the public or our clients as well, to say that if you are actually committing fraud, this is what the damage you are doing to the organization, this is the damage you're doing to the country. But ultimately, that the law enforcement agencies, where there's evidence of fraud, they have to take up that matter and deal with those matters. And we've tried to work, obviously, with the law enforcement agencies, the commercial crimes unit, and all of that. But also, we are collaborating with other private sector institutions like the banking institutions, but also are cooperating with the risk agencies that we actually have to make sure that we have an understanding of what their issues are and we build those issues into our own system and control the whole environment better. So we had done that. It's not something that is new. And as a result of that as well, now we have a fraud prevention plan that was adopted, I think, later last year, which states what are the kind of the risk areas that we have in the organization and what we should be looking at to address some of those things, which basically is a governance issue that we're basically looking at.
Lungile, my colleague Sikonathi would like to come in here. He's got something he'd like to add. Just hold me one moment.
It's Sikonathi Mantshantsha. Greetings, Lungile.
Hi, hi.
How much in the way of results have those interventions brought?
I was just sitting with the CFO now, Sikonati, for example, looking at the first intervention where we cut the use of the credit cards. I think we saved to an amount of about 200,000 per month in the charges that would have incurred should we have continued with that if we had had fraudulent credit cards that were being used at that particular point in time. In some of the instances, we have seen that it's not easier anymore for people to just register without being verified to a certain extent in terms of, for example, their IDs, but also in terms of their restoration now process for those companies that we have deregistered. When we restore them, we verify their details back into the system. And if those the details that they are giving us and those that in the system are not matching, we are not continuing with the restoration of those. We have to send them back, and then they have to do the right thing. So we are seeing some results in terms of what is forthcoming. Some of those we are conducting reviews now to see how they are doing.
In the way of results, where companies are sitting themselves, have you what? About levels of fraud that have been committed. Tell me about the results there, please.
Which levels of fraud? Can you say that
again? Levels of fraud that would have been committed, an example being Kalahari. How many cases like that? And in terms of decline or increase on last year, what have we seen there? What have your interventions brought about?
It's too early for now, Sikonati, specifically to say that the intervention that we have now have decreased it by so much. You will know that it's about 15 days or so that we have introduced that intervention. And as a result, we are still monitoring it, and we'll be reviewing it in a month or so to make sure that we just check as to what has it given us. But generally, we have seen some sort of a decline in the submission of the CM29 after we have introduced this. There may be various causal factors, for example. If, for example, you hadn't updated your details into the system would not allow you to do some of the things that are there. So at this point, I think it would not be it would be something that is anecdotal, which we cannot confirm definitely. Something that we're going to confirm once we have reviewed our system.
From about 17,000 entries on the Cipro system before the online changes, where are we standing now?
17,000 what?
17,000 entries on Cipro on records a day. Which is what Elsevier and I discussed the other day. That was before you introduced these controls now, where you have to send people SMSs and all of that for them to be able to change the one-time password.
Oh.
She had told me Cipro conducted about 17,000 changes on its account or on its systems per day. How much has that decreased with the new measures?
Maybe there are two issues, Gonad, maybe that we need to clarify first. If you look at the total transactions that Cipro does in a typical day, they vary from about 7,000, 8,000. That is the total transactions that we do a day. You would then see that maybe per week we are doing about 2,000. It was 2,000 at that point around the change of the directors specifically, which gave us about 10,000, an average of about 10,000 per month. That is what was happening at that point in time. At this point in time, as I say, it's still a short spell. In terms of that one, we cannot be able to tell you that there's a decline of so much per month, because that's what we want to do. We want to see to allow the new process to sink in, and then we can be able to evaluate the results. Otherwise, for now, it would not be a reflective way of saying this is what it has given us.
Last question: the theatre production you write about in the annual report, who is it directed at, and what result does it seek to achieve it exactly?
There was a theatre play that was done, I think, last year, if I'm correct. But that theatre production was basically giving an overview of what are the implications of fraud generally into the economy, but also into the image of the institution, but also looking at all of the other things that go with that, and who commits it and how he commits it. Because some of the instances, you would find that there are external people who may be tempted to do that. Sometimes there may be internal people who would be doing such things. So it was aimed mainly at internal people to say, whatever that we may be doing as Cipro employees, this is the ultimate implication, and ultimately the security forces or the police or whoever agencies are responsible may have to take part. But this is what we expect a typical Cipro employee to do.
So the target audience was Cipro employees.
Yeah, it was mainly
employees.
It was
how much did
internal.
It cost Cipro?
I'm not sure. I don't have those details at this point in time.
I thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lungile. I think the message is clear. Cipro is stepping up its communication with directors, and hopefully it will be a brighter year in 2011.
Yes, Mac. I think you guys just need to give us a chance to try and turn the situation around, because I'm convinced from where I sit that we are going to turn the corner. But we will collaborate with the media. We will make sure that we give you feedback. We'll make sure that we implement the controls that are necessary to do that. And we appreciate it all the time.
Sikonati, I know you need to shoot off to court, but maybe just as a quick introduction or a quick wrap-up of where we're at with the Kalahari Resources hijacking, and you know whether or not people have actually learned from this experience.
Mark, while Cipro is playing the video there, the corporate production, at court, Sandy Majali and the other alleged hijackers are busy answering a question as to why they should not be charged with fraud and why they should be allowed out on bail. The judge is probably busy now delivering that judgment. The issue here, after they alleged they hijacked the company on August 27, Kalahari Resources, then Daphne Mashilenkosi, the chairman of the company, went to court and obtained relief from them. They were then removed, and Cipro was instructed to remove them and restore the original records, but there was a fraud and corruption charges that were laid by the company. So they are answering those charges, and today pretty much is just the bail application and whether they will plead guilty or not.
I mean, Kalahari is not a small business. I mean, it's a multi-billionaire business. I mean, this is, how does the corporate governance get to that point where people can literally walk off or adapt the changes in the stakes of who owns what within the business?
That happens when an organization like Cipro has got no controls whatsoever. You can just pretty much walk in and out of its system doing as you please. But what's even most disturbing is that the leaders of that group, Sandy Majali's group, are people with records of mental instability and have actually are state patients, so to speak. And now they have to be sent through to the court has just asked, or prosecution has asked them to be tested, or their mental capacity to be just tested. Now those are the kind of people that Cipro will entrust with corporate South Africa.
You've heard quite a positive, well, an upbeat message from Lungile Dukwana about what Cipro is doing to adapt to the situation. Your thoughts on whether or not it actually is concrete, or whether these changes are actually making an impact?
Quite frankly, Mark, the taste of the pudding is in the eating, and it doesn't help him talking about it. Let's see the action. And they've been talking about this thing for the last 3 years. I'll believe it when I see it.
Sikonati, I'm not going to take up any more of your time. You need to keep the rest of the fin24.com community up to date with what's happening in this Kalahari case. I'm Mark Ashton, and signing off for this week. Come back to us next week on Off the Record.